Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 55, from verses 16 through 18. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud and hear, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in praise from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. That's the word of the Lord.
Let me begin by welcoming everyone who's here this morning. I know we have a number of people away. Several people mentioned they were either going to be gone on vacation, they were gone due to family health situations. Let's remember all the folks that are traveling, and especially over the next couple of weeks as we round out the traditional summertime. There'll be a lot of people on the road, so let's remember them. Keep them in our prayers. About tonight and the get-together after worship services tonight, we want everybody to come that wants to come. Ask you to, grab a lawn chair. We have a few, but very few. So bring your lawn chair and grab a song book, if you don't mind, and we'll bring them back over here. But grab a song book and bring it over. And hopefully we'll have a good turnout and enjoy ourselves singing. And we're just going to set the chairs up and try to sing some praises to God and enjoy that. So it was beautiful last night. I trust it will be tonight. I want us to get back in this morning to the lesson we were looking at last Sunday morning. As far as I know, this will be the only two-parter, so to speak, in the lessons this year with this theme. But the idea of developing habits. Now, we really looked at some principles about developing habits last week, and I want to go a little further with that. And you may remember that we're talking about making these habits lifelong changes. So we want to focus on that idea this morning. Let's begin by taking notice. Our whole idea of our theme, looking in James chapter 1, especially focusing on the idea in verse 21 that says the man in the mirror is looking into the mirror, and he goes his way after looking in the mirror. He goes his way. He continues doing what he has done, and he forgets what manner or what kind of man he was. Now, if you've done that, and you've done that repeatedly over your life, maybe you're at a point, and especially hopefully this year you are at a point where you are saying, I need to stop this endless cycle where I'm changing things for a little while and getting back to what I've always done, and that's not working, and I'm not where I want to be in life. Maybe you're looking at that and you're saying, I need to change my ways. I don't need to just change something for a little bit of time. I need to change my life. I need to change my ways. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're looking at. Nicole, and I appreciate Nicole Jinks giving this to me, she ran across something and she made it into a sign, took a picture of it, and I decided just to use it as is. It has a great sentiment in it. Motivation is what gets you started. Motivation, something moves you, so you want to get started making a change. But if you notice what this says, and I believe this is true, habit is what keeps you going. You may be motivated to change something in your life, and this happens with so many people. And I use this example because typically, at the beginning of the year, people make New Year's resolutions. The majority of people that make them, that take notice of what needs to be changed, and have that motivation to get started, and they use the beginning of the year and a New Year's resolution to do it, the vast majority of them quit it within 48 hours. Most of the others quit by the end of the first week. Very few people ever start changing something with their New Year's resolution and continue it and really change so that the change becomes a lifelong change. If they get started and it becomes a habit, You will be along a great way along changing something in your life. It is what will keep you going. So we make this observation. As we're looking in the mirror, there's got to be a personal progression in my life. As I gaze into the mirror of God's Word, I see and hear what I need to do, what I need to be, where I need to be in life. I see that. I take the Word of God, I engraft it into my heart. That's different than reading. Now it's part of me. Now I carry it with me. For example, for me, the things that I need to change in my life, I know what the Scripture says, so I visit those passages and I meditate on them. I really spend time thinking about them so that as I go through the day, I'm thinking about it. It's not something that's going to leave me. I really know what God says, and I know that I need to change. I use that as the daily motivation to move me today to keep going, and so that it becomes a habit. If you do that, and you habitually put it into your life, into action, until it is natural, a new way of life, then change will come about. And so we say, you start with a decision. I need to change such and such in my life. Your next step is to develop a plan of action. Now, you don't rush through this because you've got to have a workable plan of action. What am I going to do today? What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do for the rest of this month? What am I going to do for the rest of the year? What am I going to do sometimes for my whole life? But there's got to be a plan. And that plan has to have an ultimate goal. I'm going to, whatever it might be, I'm going to learn the Bible. I'm going to pay all my bills and be debt free. I'm going to lose 180 pounds. That's your ultimate goal. But it's got to be broken down into what I'm going to do today to get me to that point. I can't lose 180 pounds today. 180 pounds is going to be lost over the course of time. I can't learn the whole Bible today. I can learn a verse. I can really focus on a passage of Scripture. And I can learn a lot about that. But I can't learn it all today. I've got to have a plan of action. And then obviously, I've got to work the plan. Excuse me. I've got to work the plan. And I've got to work that plan until I develop good habits. You know, if you study your Bible every day, if you start tomorrow or today, and you set aside 15 minutes and you study your Bible, by the end of 30 days, if you have done that for 30 days in a row for 10 minutes a day, it will be a habit. Now, it's not a habit that you can't break, but it will be a habit. And if you continue doing that long enough, it will be such a habit that you will say to you, I want to do that. I've got to do that. And when it becomes that kind of habit, then it becomes lifelong change. In fact, it is said, and we may say it right here, when it becomes natural, when I do it because it's what I do. In other words, if you get up, you remember we were talking last week, that first day you're going to get up 10 minutes earlier, you're going to read your Bible. You're sleepy, you don't want to get up, you don't want to wake up 10 minutes early, you reach for the Bible, but man, you don't want to do it. You sit on the side of the bed, you make yourself do it. By the end of the month, you will find yourself waking up naturally 10 minutes early. You will find yourself reaching for the Bible, and when another month or so goes by, you will catch yourself one day, and I promise you this is so, you will catch yourself one day sitting on the side of the bed reading your Bible and realizing, I'm reading my Bible. You will have done it so naturally, you never thought about waking up, you never thought about reaching for the Bible, you never thought about reading it. It's just what you are doing, and it's what you will do. And if you continue to do that, it will get to a point that if you don't do it, all day long, your mind will be saying, hey, we didn't read our Bible. You haven't read your Bible yet. You need to read your Bible. And it will bother you, I promise you, all day long. That's the kind of change that is natural. That's the kind of thing that's come into your life that is now a natural part of your life. And that's real change. Now, I want us to look at some principles because you need a step-by-step approach to achieve that. So I want us to talk about what it takes to get from the groggy individual that's really having to debate and fight himself to do what he knows he needs to do. What he decided last night before he went to sleep is a great thing I need to do first thing in the morning. To get from that to that person that just naturally does what he needs to do. A methodical, step-by-step approach. Let's talk about it. First of all, you need to identify the habit. You need to spend some time thinking about what needs to change. This is all part of gazing into the mirror. This is going back to the earlier part of the year, and you can see these lessons online, or you can listen to them anyway. The whole idea about your mission statement, it has to do with what needs to change. The whole idea about doing the SWOT analysis, remember that whole thing? You getting in tune with you. You looking at your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities. What are threats to change? You need to identify the good habit, the change you need to make. That's what I need to do, so I will. And usually, there is a corresponding bad habit. I realized, and I told my class this quite a few times, and I've said it up here a few times. I realized that I needed to start getting up and eating breakfast. Now, you may think that's, you know, whoopee, I get up every day and eat breakfast. Well, I didn't. For years and years and years. I didn't understand then. I knew it was a good thing to do. I read all the, you know, articles written on it and all of that. I knew it was a good thing to do, but I didn't realize how important it was until I actually was doing it. But I identified the habit that needed to change, the corresponding bad habit that was part of my life. Get up, wait till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, then start eating. The point is, something that needs to change in your life usually has a corresponding bad habit. It's what you're currently doing that needs to change to what you should be doing. And you need to know why you're changing it. What are the benefits of this good habit? Why do I need to read my Bible 10 minutes every morning before I start my day? Why do I need to pray more often, etc.? You need to list the things that are beneficial if you make the change. If you turn with me to the book of Romans, and I want us to look at a couple of passages this morning, and let's read them quickly. But in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, notice how Paul talks about changing your mind if you're going to change your life. In fact, Paul says it like this, "Be not conformed to this world." You know, the idea of successful and unsuccessful people, if you want to be unsuccessful, do what unsuccessful people do. If you want to be successful, do what successful people do. That's one of the oldest adages that's around, and it's true. Paul says it like this, "Don't be conformed to the world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove," you test it and prove it, just like in a lab, "what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Or go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. And in Proverbs, Solomon said it like this, and we start in verse 5, "Get wisdom, get understanding." Solomon says the idea of renewing your mind with the wisdom of God is what you need to do. You need to know what is right, what you should be doing, etc. Now continue reading with me. Drop down to verse 23 here. When Solomon says, "Keep your heart, your mind, your emotions, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You need to know why you need to change. You need to know what you need to change, but you need to know why. I especially love verse 26. I want you to look at it carefully with me. "Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established." I could preach a whole lesson on that verse, and I wish I had time to do it. Ponder, meditate, think about it. The way you're walking, the way you're living, the way you're going. What got you to where you are? What are the bad habits that brought me to this point in my life? And what needs to be changed? Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. One of the second, and we emphasize that, I wish I'd put that up there already, but the second point that I need to do is make the decision. Now, making the decision means I've looked at what needs to change, and now I'm making a commitment to change. Not just that I've decided what needs to change, but I'm making a commitment to making that change. Notice how, remember the lesson we had on procrastination, putting things off? The longer I procrastinate, the worse my situation usually becomes. I have an ultimate goal to reach the weight that I was in 1981. Now that's way back there, okay? I was 22 years old. It's going to be difficult to get back at 55. It's going to be difficult to get back to the weight I was at age 22. I believe I can. I'm well on the way to doing that. But my point is, that's my ultimate goal. That's what I see that I need to be. The longer I procrastinated doing that, I think back through time, from 1981 till 3 years ago, or not quite, but almost 3 years ago. The longer I procrastinated, the worse it got. The more weight went on, the more unhealthy I became, etc., etc. If you look at your life and you look at what needs to be changed in your life, if you have procrastinated, if you put off changing it, it's become worse and worse and worse. I don't care what the bad habit is. I don't care what the situation in life is. If we are talking about substance abuse, if we're talking about not eating healthy, if we're talking about a bad relationship, a bad marriage, or whatever it is, the longer I put it off, the worse it got. And now I am where I am. If I put it off for any longer, it's going to get worse. It will get worse until the point of the day that I die. And I understand that, so I have to change things. I want you to look with me at Isaiah. You might hold your finger at Proverbs. I'm going to come back and quickly read a passage there. But look with me at Isaiah chapter 30. And something Isaiah says down in verse 21, or something God says through him. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. It's almost like God is whispering in your ear. God is standing behind you talking. If you look at the context, you can easily see that. Your ear will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. You know what the passage is saying? You need to engraft the Word of God into you. You need to know why you're doing what you're doing. So you make a commitment and you go through your day hearing that Word. Hearing God say as He stands behind you, this is the way you need to go. Walk in it. And when you start to turn to the left hand or you start to turn to the right, when you start to get off track, in the back of your mind or behind you, you hear the voice of God saying, no, this is what you need to do. Walk this way. Look with me at the book of Proverbs in chapter 16, if you're back in that book, and just the beginning of this chapter. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue, notice, is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. People will rationalize anything. Every disaster that is imaginable, someone has got an excuse, a rationalization for why they do that thing. And God is saying, no, listen to me. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. As for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. The next step you need to take is having a well-defined plan of action. I've talked so much about this, I'm not going to talk very long about it. But a well-defined plan of action. What is your mission statement? With respect to the change you need to make, what would you say? How would you state in a very clear, concise way, this is what I am going to do? And what are the goals that you have in place for changing that? Now you say, well, I don't have it written out in a clear, concise statement. They're right. I don't have goals, long-term, intermediate, short-term. Then get them. Because you have to have a plan of action in order to work a plan of action. You have to have something that you keep going back to that tells you today, sometimes for the next 5 minutes, what you need to do. You have to have a well-defined plan of action so that you make it methodical, habit-forming. It tells me what I've got to do today to change my life. And you need to tweak it, adjust it. You need to journal and revisit it so that you are always constantly going back to it. You need to ask questions like, should I go slower? Should I go faster? That kind of, and all the other attendant questions that go with your specific goals. And you need to strive for consistency rather than major performances. Let's say that I know that I've got to do something for my cardiovascular, system in my body. I got to walk, swim, ride a bike. And let's say that I decide I know I need to walk, so I get up tomorrow and I say, it'll be a good idea if I walk to Plainfield and back. You know what's going to happen? I'm probably going to die. But if I don't die, if I somehow miraculously make that trip, when I get through with it, I say, I ain't ever doing that again as long as I live. It is far better that I get up tomorrow morning and walk to the end of the block. Remember Zig Ziglar years ago talking about when he said, I decided I needed to jog. And he said, I got up, that first morning and I was excited about it. And I put my jogging suit on and I went out and I jogged a block. Great. That's all he could do. He was pooped. But he said, the next day I got up and I jogged a block and a mailbox. Now you see what's happening? What happened to Zig and what happens to you is, if you get up every day for the next 30 days and you jog or you walk or you do whatever it is, it will become a habit and you will continue to do it and you will increase it. You'll go to the next mailbox. Your mind will say, hey dude, we've been running this block for a week. You can go 2 mailboxes. Push yourself a little bit. That will happen. Consistency is the name of the game. It's like the Bible teaches us, Revelation chapter 3, I would that you were cold or hot. Lukewarm will kill you, is the idea there. The idea Jesus is saying is, I want you to be fired up about being consistent. Now, not, I want you to be fired up about doing little of nothing all the time. That's not the point. The point is, I want you to do it consistently. That's what I want. Not the hit and miss, sometimes maybe, sometimes not. Be not weary in well-doing. Do it consistently until it becomes a part of your life. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. The next point in developing these habits so that they become natural is to pay attention to triggers, obstacles. What moves me in a certain direction? Why do I do what I need to do? And why do I do what I don't need to do? Sometimes that can be a thing. Sometimes that can be a person. But what is triggering me to do what I should? What is a hindrance to keep me from that? Or what obstacle moves me toward what I shouldn't? Let's go back to the book of Proverbs and go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. And let's listen to what Solomon says here. He tells his son, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now, continue to listen. There's something very interesting he said. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Notice, bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tables of your heart. Why does God always say that? You notice how many times in the Bible God says, bind something on your neck. Put it as a frontlet before your eyes. Nail it to the doorpost. Put it up on the mat. Why is God saying that? Because God knows that He made us. And He knows that our minds work in such a way that I have triggers. I've heard people that really have a problem with running to the refrigerator, talking about putting the refrigerator on a different floor of the house. Because your mind will say, man, I want that piece of cake. And then your mind will say, but do I want to go up those stairs for it? No, I do not. God knows that. I've also heard, and here's the point of putting things before your eyes. I was reading about one lady that talked about she could not stop running to the refrigerator. It was a habit. It wasn't even that she had to be hungry. It's just that something went off in her head that said, run to the refrigerator. And here's what she did. She took the ugliest picture she could take of herself as fat and ugly as she ever looked in her life. And she blew it up and put it on the refrigerator. And what happened was, every time she went to the refrigerator, no matter how she looked away, up, down, what, she kept seeing that picture. She said it got to the point she laughed so much, it made her think and say, "Are you really hungry?" And she finally stopped running to the refrigerator. Whatever it takes. What is a trigger for you? What's an obstacle for you? What did hinder you, Paul said? You got so far off track, what happened to you? The idea is, I need to know, as Paul says in Galatians 5, of a little leaven, a small thing in life, can move me toward a disaster. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If my problem is whatever it is, you know, I mean, people talk about people with real problems like substances or pornography or whatever it might be. People talk about, you know, it's the small, it's the little bitty, teeny tiny triggers that move me toward that. And if I cut those things out, then that thing will go away from my life. Alcoholics Anonymous really, Narcotics Anonymous really pay attention to triggers and obstacles. Is there a support system in your life? Who knows what I'm changing? Now, you guys do. And I can't tell you. You probably say, "Man, I'm sick and tired of hearing him talk about his losing weight." You know why I do that? Because I need you. I need you to be a support system. I need to know that I'm responsible to continue this thing. That other people are watching, are taking notice. I need go-to people when I need encouragement. I need to be able to say, "Boy, you know, it's been a rough few days. I don't know why. All of a sudden, I'm craving bad foods that I don't need to eat. All of a sudden, I'm not doing those little things I know I need to do." I need encouragement, and I don't need discouragement. And the Bible speaks of that. It says, "Iron sharpens iron," in Proverbs 27. "So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." By the same token, in chapter 13 and verse 20, the Bible speaks of being with those people, making companions of those people who are wise. It also speaks of the detriment of foolish people, of how people can drag you down. We know that, don't we? All of us know that there are people who can be the greatest discouragement to us, that can drag us down and move us in the direction we don't need to be. God warns us again and again and again about that. Don't discount the wisdom of God to know how we are. In Malachi chapter 3, those that feared the Lord spoke often with one another. And the idea there was, God took notice of that, and God claimed those people. "They shall be mine for speaking and being with one another." That's why we get together like we will tonight. And I dare say there's no telling the amount of encouragement or uplifting or motivation that will grow out of that just because we're together. Again, in James 5, the idea of speaking to each other, confessing to each other. It's a good thing to go to that go-to person and say, "I need you to pray for me today. I'm having a problem. I really, you know, it's a rough time today." And that go-to person, you know you can count on them. You need a support system. And you need to visualize. Remember years ago when I first started teaching from Hebrews 11, I want everybody to turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 10, because I want you to see something, and we're going to compare it to something the Old Testament says about this same Bible character. And the Bible character is Abraham. Years ago, when I first started teaching this about Abraham, there were people kind of raised an eyebrow and said, "I don't know about that. That sounds, you know, it just doesn't sound right." I said, "Look at it. Listen to what the Bible is saying about Abraham." I've talked about the idea of picturing your life. I have a clear, concise picture of myself at age 21 in my mind, and that's my goal. Now, I know the wrinkles ain't going away, you know. The hair is not going to be dark, beautiful brown like it once was. I understand every bit of that. But I was healthy in 1981. I felt good in 1981. I was not where I was 2.5, a little better, years ago. I've got that clear picture that I see. Sometimes I even pull out pictures that were taken back around that time, and I look at myself and I say, yeah, you're not young anymore, but you can be healthy again. And that's the idea. Do you see it? Do you see yourself as a changed person? Do you think about what it will be like to be that person? Do you see the change? Abraham could see the change. If you're looking at Hebrews 11 and verse 10, do you see that God called him? And that Abraham left his home and left everything he knew, and he went to Canaan, and he was able to live that faithful life, so much so that he becomes the example of faith to us. And you know why? Because Abraham looked for a city. He saw it. He never realized it. He never got there in this life, but he could see it. I want you to go back with me to Genesis 15 and listen to God tell him to do that. This was the story where Abraham was, you know, he was just down. He had gotten to the point where he was discouraged about the whole descendant thing and so forth. So he was going to take Eliezer and adopt him. And God took him outside and he told him to look up into the heavens. And he said, and notice this in verse 5, he brought him forth and he said, look now toward heaven and tell or count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your seed be. You see what he's teaching him to do there? He's teaching him to see it. Look up into the heavens and see the stars, and that's the number of your descendants. Incalculable. Immeasurable. Beyond any of your wildest imaginations. You have no child right now, Abraham. But you will have, and the descendants that you will be like the stars of the heaven, and they are. If we look at just the physical descendants of Abraham, we look at every Jew, every Arab in the entire world, and then people like me who are a mixture of that. Descendants physically of Abraham. But beyond that, every Christian is in the family of Abraham. Abraham, your descendants will be like the stars of heaven. Can you see that? And Hebrews tells us he could. He did. It's like David saying when his child died, he can't come back to me, but I will go to him. Can you see the reunion in heaven with a loved one that's gone before? It's what will move you to do what's right. Or like God said, look now, and so shall it be. Make a change. But once in your life, make a change. See the change. Work the plan that it takes to get to the change. It's going to feel real good. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make it right. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make that change. Here this morning, and you're not a child of God, if you believe in Jesus, that He is the Son of God, and you're willing this morning to confess that, if you will change, you make the decision this morning to change, repent, and be baptized for forgiveness of your sins, you will be a child of God. You will be a descendant of Abraham, of the seed of Christ. If you're here today and you've done that, yet your life still is not what it needs to be, then change your ways this morning. Make the decision, the commitment this morning to change. Won't you please come while we stand and sing?